I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is that thing going on now? Set up on the table. Take care of it. Excuse me, what? What? When you take care of it, make sure you don't knock down anything. You gotta be up in the air over here somewhere. Beside your head. Well, finish it off. Finish it off. Okay, you finish? It's right there. It's right there. Be careful. Be careful. In that spot over there. Look here. Just drop it over there. Okay, right up. You need to focus on this. Come back over here. Come back over here. I want it to stay right there. Come over here. Come over here. Turn around. Go ahead and take care of that. The King of Glory. Hello, everybody. Worthy. Worthy. So good to see you again. I hope that you have prayed for me. This is Amazing Grace. Right here. You don't need to do that. Just hold it up like this and put it right down. Go ahead. Take that off. Yes. We're going to be dealing with some subjects today that some of you may not like, but stick with me. And and maybe you will like it in the end. Sometimes we have to take some castor oil. I know when I was growing up, down in the South, there were two medicines for black people. Number one was castor's oil. And then there was a fish-smelling medicine. And those of you who are over 50 years old, you know what I'm talking about. And so sometimes in life, we need a bad-tasting medicine, an oily medicine like castor's oil. I could not stand, and I don't know a child in the South who could stand Castor's Oil. It just had a nasty taste to it. We hated it. But that's what my great-grandmother Breedlove gave us. It didn't matter what the sickness was. You got some Castor's Oil. And if it was real bad, I forget the name of this medicine. Had a man with a fish on the front, and it smelled like fish. I didn't care for that either. And I don't know of any of my siblings or cousins who cared for it, but buddy, whatever ailed you, that's what you got. And sometimes in life, you need some Castor's Oil. So it may taste terrible going down, but it's good for you. And so I'm going to preach in your hearing today and resume preaching, as I have preached this throughout the month of June, so-called Pride Month. I like to finish what I start, and I didn't finish it in June in the way that I wanted to. I thank the Lord for my dear friends here on our new outreach. I thank God for you, and it's so good to see you again. I want to preach in your hearing, history repeats itself. America and the West are now Sodom and Gomorrah and will reap similar consequences. Part number 17. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Some parts of this may be difficult for some of you to understand, but just hang in there with me. You'll get it after a while. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, that is, in the evening time. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He was somewhat of a judge or a mayor or some kind of representative or congressman or leader. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords." He knew they were special. "Do you not know that God will," and you can't see it, "but God will give you a Moses-like glow if you belong to him?" You can't see it, you can't feel it, you feel like a no good wretch. And that's how you ought to feel, because that's that's exactly what you are. But when you show up, have you not heard about preachers talking about the favor of God? That's what they're talking about. All you have to do is show up, and God begins to put in people a respect for you and a love for you and an appreciation for you. They don't even know you, but they like something about you, and you don't know what it is, but the God who's in you. Lot instantly respected these men. And the glow may not be a glow, but it is a glow, if you know what I mean. I tell you, all you have to do is show up, and God begins to set things in order. If you just show up, they sense it, they see it. They don't know what it is either, but they respect you and they honor you and they appreciate you, and they'll open up doors for you and they'll show you favor. They don't know why. You don't know why other than God. That's all free. Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, they couldn't even get in the bed. They couldn't even get a little relaxation. You know, I have talked about this in the past. There are so many people who they work and then they go straight to bed. There's no period of relaxation, taking it easy before you go to bed. There ought to be some margin where you don't have to just go straight to bed and get up and go right on back to work and all of that. I mean, relax a little bit. These men could not even relax and take in the news or read the newspaper or read a book. Couldn't even get in the bed. The Sodomites and Gomorrites were after them. They sensed, because Lot bowed down to them and respected them, and they sensed something moral and clean about them, because that's what the Sodomites want. They want to defile that which is innocent and clean and holy. That's why they want to go after children. And so they were not wasting any time. The Sodomites were at the door. The men of the city, even the men of Sodom. And that phrase, the men of Sodom, that means they had a reputation. And just like Sodomites and Gomorrites do today, right now, today in the news, it is shocking. I thought they were talking about the men were raping the girls, and that's bad enough up there at Northwestern University. But football players, evidently older football players, are being accused of dry humping the quarterback of the football team in a violent fashion. And it was so bad that they felt something for them to sue, for a man to sue his football, his university where he played football, because of the gross, evidently Sodomite, Gomorrite, homosexual raping of other men on the team. or attempted rape, simulated rape. And maybe they're not telling us everything because that is shameful. It's like back in the Old Testament when the enemy would shave off the beards of the men who wore beards and ripped off their clothes. It's a humiliation. And David told his men, I tell you what, so that you won't be ashamed as you come back into the city or into the country. You stay where you are, go to a safe place and grow your beards back and get you some clothes and so forth, so you won't have to, they won't know anything about this shameful act. The sodomites, the homosexuals, compassed the house around, both old and young. As I have told you, if you start young, you grow up in it, in this sin, in this abomination. Because once you get into it, evidently it's hard to get out of it. I know only of a few who were in this lifestyle and got out of it. And quite frankly, it is similar to heterosexuality as well. Heterosexuals who get involved in fornication and adultery at a young age, you get that taste, you get that desire, it's hard to shake. Sexual sins are hard to shake. See, on both sides. Once a young man is turned on to sex and the feel of a vagina, and he's hooked. And if Jesus does not intervene, he's going to be one that every day, depending on his age. A young girl, even a young church girl, if she's a virgin and she has kept herself, if someone gets next to her and a bad boy, and don't look at me like it doesn't happen, it happens all the time, and she gets hooked. She gets, I know you don't like for me to say it, but she gets, you sweet evangelicals and Baptists and Protestants, we need to say it more often. That's why you're losing your children to Bo Peep. And Bo Peep knows how to hook them. There are men who know how to hook women with their penis. And they'll say, oh, I'll never do that again. I can't do this. I'm a church girl. But in about a day or two, they're going to want it again. It's hard to get out of it. Once you get started, it's hard. It's hard. That's why God wants us to remain virgins until we get married. And do it the right way. And with the bed undefiled. So sexual sins are hard to shake. That's the reality. And I believe that homosexual sins are even worse. Because some of these people, they stay in it until they're old. Young and old, standing on the porch. All the people from every quarter, like a mob. Gangsters, gangster sodomites. And they called unto Lot. They said, hello, Lot. Lot, where are you? Lot, we know you think that you're a judge, but Lot, we want to talk to you. You got some friends in there that we want to get to know. And said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? And no doubt some of them had lipstick on and makeup on, and some had fake breasts on, and some were dressed in dresses, no doubt, the sodomites, the LGBTQ of Genesis. Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And know them in the Bible, in the King James Version, meant to have sex with them. And even more intense than that, to rape them, to break them in. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now, you know, when somebody comes to your house and then you got to go out and pull that door real tight behind you. You don't want people to know what's going on. See, Lot knew how they were. This is not to say that Lot was involved in the homosexual lifestyle, because some homosexuals, it's a strange sort of thing. They kind of know certain people, and they don't mess with for some reason. But because these people were new and they had a special glow about them, they wanted to get to know these friends that they had never seen before, sexually speaking, and said, I pray you, brethren. Lot said, I pray you, brethren. In other words, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren. He called them brethren because Lot was a compromiser, like so many politicians today and like so many pastors today. So many churches today are compromisers. You don't call sodomites and practicing homosexuals brethren. But that's what he did. He was a politician. He talked out of the both sides of his mouth. He knew better, like most pastors and politicians know better today. But they talk out of the both sides of their mouth. They call themselves homosexual, sodomite affirming, LGBTQ affirming pastors, pastors' wives. Well, and they say, well, we love everybody. That has nothing to do with it. We love all Christians love everybody with God's love. But you love them enough to tell them the truth. I have some people right now who are mad at me about what I'm preaching. They don't like it. But I already warned them. I told them, just listen, hear me out. Because I love you, I must tell you the truth. I know that I would be more accepted by them if I would just read a psalm and say something comforting. But you do not love people if you're not willing to do as Jesus did and tell them the truth. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did on heaven. Because that's the truth. You're going to hell if you don't believe in me. Lot called them brethren. Do not so wickedly. Brethren. Now, you ought not to be talking to brethren that way. Unless they have fallen off into sin. But if you truly have some brethren, you don't have to say do not so wickedly. These people were not brethren. They were the enemies of God, the enemies of the cross. God was getting ready to destroy them because of how evil they were. Men with men. Stinking ugly men with stinking ugly men. That's not how it's supposed to be. With all of these beautiful, fine peaches and women out here, you want to go for an ugly, hairy, stinking man? You've lost your mind. You have lost your righteous mind if you ever had one. And you don't have good sense to me. You bumping up against a hard, ugly, stinking, hairy man and all these beautiful women around here that God has provided. You've got to be kidding me, son. And you, young men like this. Young men. And I don't know why women are not upset why they can't get a man. Why I don't know why they, I don't know why the women of the day, young women, are not mad as the devil at these weak, effeminate men got makeup on with a beard and a beret in the beard. You got to be kidding me. Young women ought to be married, ought to be mad that they can't get married to a man. Because the man is going after the same men they're going after and want. Most women today don't even know if a man is queer or not. They don't even know how to approach men today. One black woman from Washington, D.C., she writes for the Washington Post. She dealt with the issue. She dealt with the situation. She said, something is wrong. Men are lost. They've lost their way. The government and the church and the world did not help them. They don't have a compass. Because she's basically saying, I got all of this over here for you and you can't find me. You can't get with this. Man, I'm not used to that. You lost, brother. I mean, there are women out there saying like Diana Ross used to say in the 60s, come check on me. Huh? Come check on me. Come on and talk to me, man. I need you and you need me. Glory be to God. I know that's right. And you going after some stinking, ugly, nasty, hairy man. And I got all this over here for you. You got to be crazy. I don't know why women are not protesting. And then you're going to erase me by becoming, call yourself becoming a woman? I know you people have lost your mind. You men are lost. I want a man. I don't want a woman. And here you turn yourself into a woman. Want to run against me and race against me. And I'm not too sure. You forgive me. But I'm not too sure. I saw some jokers in the women's soccer thing today. I don't know if some of those people, I don't know if they're women. They don't look like women to me. They have no shape. They're not voluptuous. I don't see any breasts. And they got a bald head. What is the matter? What's going on? You people have lost your minds. I say to you, America and the West are Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're reaping the consequences. I wrote an article the other day. I ought to share this with you. I don't have the time. I'm going to share one of the things with you, and I may not even have the time for that. I said, I said in an article recently, a couple of days ago, that you people need to stop lying to yourselves. You need to understand, it's not climate change. Is God wanting you to change? Tornadoes, flattening buildings, destroyed a medicine building, Pfizer medicine building the other day, just dropped out of the sky. Where do you think that came from? That came from God. Hot, not as hot as hell, but it is hellish. God is giving you a taste of hell where some of you are going all across the country, all around the world. Where do you think that's coming from? That comes from God. You say, oh, that's Mother Nature. That's climate change. Well, God created the climate, and he changes it to get your attention. They're telling me that in certain parts of the ocean, it's almost like the water, the ocean is boiling. It has nothing to do with climate change or Mother Nature, and there's no such thing as Mother Nature. It's Father Nature, Father God, okay? Okay, God is getting, he's lovingly, mercifully, and graciously destroying and dismantling America and the West, because America and the West have become Sodom and Gomorrah. Smoke, Sodom and Gomorrah type, style smoke coming from Canada all down, all up in here in America. What? You think it's climate change? Man can't even put out the fire. Fires all across Canada coming down here smoking us out. Then our fire time, fire season because of the heat and everything else and lightning strike. And by the way, God is the one who started the fires in Canada. Not Mother Nature and not climate change. God did. The same way he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lightning strikes. And you must understand, God does not have to, you know, pump things up and, you know, and he doesn't have to conjure things up and take a long time to do. All God has to do is speak it, and it's done. And it's over. And you could be over. Okay? Verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. Now I don't want you to take what I'm getting ready to say as a license. And this is a terrible thing that Lot said. But God can deal with you better, even if you committed fornication with a woman, more so than men with men and women with women. Now, you can see, you're messing with God's creation. You're trying to turn God's world upside down on his head. And God can fix and deal with you having sex with the opposite sex, and a baby may come, and then he can make the baby into the to the king of King Solomon. Okay, he can work with it, because ultimately, even though sex is very pleasurable, and it is, and God made it pleasurable so that you can replenish the earth. Okay? Because that's where babies come from. And no, a man can't have a baby. And I know I'm going to get a whole lot of flack over that. I shouldn't, but I will. I got folks who want to kill me for saying simple things like that. No, an ugly, stinking man cannot get pregnant and have a baby. You got to have a man and a woman somehow, some way. Now, God can work with that. He, if you seek forgiveness, he'll forgive you. He can work with it and bring some good out of it. He can't bring any good out of a man and a man being together and a woman being together, bumping up against each other. Look at me real good. He can't work with that. You're messing with his creation. And God is not going to let you do that for long. God is very merciful and very gracious and loving, but he is not going to let you, little human being you, turn his world upside down, man, woman. Are you crazy? He's not going to do that. So, but that's not a license to us heterosexuals. And by the way, and I know I'm going to get some flack for this, I'm declaring right now July as heterosexual month. Y'all, you don't get mad at me. You call June Pride Month, homosexual month, Pride coming before fall. I'm going to follow it up from now on with heterosexual month. Glory be to God. And our flag is going to be the cross. Y'all got the rainbow? We're going to have the cross, the Christian flag. How about that? I have declared it. It's over. It's already taken care of. And we're going to have a whole lot more people than you all have, too. If y'all going to celebrate that demonic foolishness, we're going to celebrate how God made man and woman to get together. It's a beautiful thing. What God created. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I have to protect them from you devilish sodomites and homosexuals. Because I know how you all do. You're very muscular and very evangelistic in a bad way. You don't want people to just accept you. You want them to be like you. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. I told you they're very aggressive. Very aggressive. Stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn with us, that is, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. You haven't seen anything, Lot. We'll put a hurting on you. How y'all doing over here? 1,764 of you. Go ahead and invite some more people. Invite your friends. You can handle it. You can handle it. Tell this network not to take me off. You can handle the truth. Even those of you who are practicing this sin and this abomination, you can handle the truth. You're a big boy and you're a big girl. Don't get mad at me. Don't you run away from me. And when I come back on again, come on back and see me now. Because I'm telling you the truth because I love you. I love sinners. In fact, I get along with sinners way better than religious people. Hear me well. Hear me well. Hear me well, my friends. That was the devil calling. He's mad at me. That was the devil calling. But I get along better with sinners than with religious people. So you come on and hang out with me. Okay? We may not agree, but you hang out with me. And I'll hang out with you. Jesus loves sinners. He got along better with the sinners than he did the religious people. The religious people killed them. They're trying to kill me too. Y'all are not trying to kill me. Thank God you're not even trying to get with me like that. Oh, let me tell you women something now. Now, you know, some of you women, I told you. Now, listen, I got to tell you this. I got women on this station calling me. Asking me to call them. I can't do that. I'm a married man. I've been married for over 35 years now. Come on. I have a total of 9 children and 1 grandchild. Okay? And so don't I thank the Lord for one lady who sent some money. I thanked her for it and she didn't come on to me. But some of you beautiful women are asking me to call you, asking me to get with let's get together and all that. I don't roll like that. Okay, I can't. I can't do this. So don't do that. Respect me now. Respect the Lord. Respect the Lord. Respect the man of God. Okay? And you know, I can't do that. So just say amen. Do like the other lady and send some money to help me out. Because the religious crowd won't help me. They hate me. They want me to stop preaching like this. And not the sinners. The sinners, I don't have any problem with the sinners. There's a few who want to kill me, but, you know, that's all right. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, because they were muscular too. They were strong too, with God's strength. Get in here, Lot. We know what's going on. You can't protect us against these devils. And shut to the door. That means they slammed the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied. Some of these men were powerful. Mayors and pastors of churches and some of these sodomites. That's who I'm talking about. Congressmen, representatives. CEOs. Rich, poor, powerful and powerless. Educated and uneducated. Okay? So that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray, we pray, in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for all of the blessings you've bestowed upon those of us who are saved by your grace. Thank you for the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and spiritual family and life, financial and material protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. For those of us who are saved and born again by your grace, please have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our sins. Crush and crucify, Lord, our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh in the old man within us. And fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Put a guard at our hearts, our minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that we would not sin against you. And Holy Father God, I pray that You would crush and crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh, and the old man within us, and afresh and anew fill those of us who are saved by your grace with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit, to do your work and will, and not ours, and not anybody else's. I do pray, Lord, that you will cast out the devil and the demons of hell, and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Lord, from this place, and out of my wife, Marika White, who is here helping in the ministry, and not only in church, but outside of church. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us all to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, that the rest of the service will go well, that the gospel will be preached, souls will be saved, and Christians revived again. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for we pray it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Allow me to share something with you that, believe it or not, was born out of this sodomite homosexual movement, LGBTQ plus legions of demons movement, that's happening in this country called America, which, by the way, we are approaching 250 years, and we're acting very foolishly. So foolishly that we may not make it to 250 years. And the West. As some of you have heard, Florida Governor DeSantis is right to fight against the abomination of sodomy, homosexuality, transgenderism, and the LGBTQQIPF2SSAA plus legions of demons, taking over society and indoctrinating our children. However, if his new Florida teaching standards say anything close to African Americans receiving personal benefit, Black Americans receiving personal benefit from slavery, or that slaves were perpetrators of race riots while slaves, then that is wrong-headed. And in the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., my dad who is in heaven, that is ass backwards. And if DeSantis and his team do not fix this with the quickness, he will never see the Oval Office. And here's my comment further on this. If what we are hearing regarding Governor DeSantis's new Florida teaching on Black Americans, that somehow slavery was beneficial to Black Americans, is accurate, DeSantis and his team have fallen right into the hands of the woke masters and unknowingly falling for what they have done, that is, the woke sodomite homosexual masters have done so well. And that is using race as a Trojan horse, using the Black race in particular as a Trojan horse to bring in the abominations of sodomy and homosexuality and transgenderism. The woke masters have intertwined the black race and homosexuality so tightly that DeSantis and his team have been had, according to borrow the words of Malcolm X, have been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked. You have been bamboozled, led astray, and now you have run amok. If DeSantis and his team do not fix this foolishness, he might as well pack up his political bags and return to the Florida governor's mansion, because he will never see the White House. If there is anything in any of the curriculum that is close to those two things that they have pointed out and that we have heard, quite frankly, that's just dumb. Black people have learned from bad situations for centuries. My mother, Shirley Louise White, sorry, I do not recognize her second marriage or the man she married, because she didn't tell me she was going to do that. So I don't even know his name and don't care to know it. Anyway, who was born, my mother who was born and raised in Florida and who now lives in Florida, wrote in my high school yearbook in my senior year as a part of her last words to me, because as soon as I graduated, I didn't know she was going to do this, but my mother left my father. I mean the next day. And moved from North Carolina back to Florida. She waited for me to graduate before she did that. And didn't tell me or anybody else anything. But she told me this. She wrote this in my yearbook. Roll with the punches. That means to always make the best out of a bad situation. And black folk have been doing that. Black folks have been rolling with the punches for centuries. But to teach children in the public school system that slavery was beneficial is just stupid. And there are conservative white people who don't even want you to say stupid things like that. Because that kind of foolishness will get you, will not help you get to the White House. You won't receive not one black vote if you don't fix that, DeSantis. And I have been behind you on the matter of dealing with the issue of homosexuality and sodomy and transgenderism. This is just stupid. Politically speaking, it's just stupid. And at the least sounds racist, which I don't think you are racist, but this sounds racist. That is like saying a woman who was raped benefited from the rape. She got something from it. That's stupid. Newsflash, Governor DeSantis, if you and your team even came close to saying asinine things like this, you should publicly apologize to all black Floridians and black Americans. I applaud you for running the sodomites / homosexuals / LGBT plus out of Florida with your laws and regulations. I applaud you for stopping homosexuals and sodomites and LGBTQ from indoctrinating our children in Florida. But I have news for you. And I have news for you. I'm okay with the homosexuals and the sodomites leaving Florida. But I have news for you. You will not be running black folks out of Florida. They will run you out before you run them out. Now, in fairness to Governor DeSantis and the state board members and officials, they have pushed back on the arguments against the standards, contending that they do not teach that slavery was beneficial. Well, you better tell somebody. You better show somebody if that's true, because this is a political hot potato that people are running with even to this day. The Vice President of the United States, which, because of how she has produced many word salads, does not carry much authority, but she carries some. She's visiting Florida today to confront this issue. And so somebody's got some paperwork on you, and you people need to fix this. Governor DeSantis, you need to apologize publicly. And whatever you put in these papers and in the curriculum that says anything close to this, you need to get it out real quick, or you are done as far as becoming president of the United States. And you're already struggling, so you don't need this. And so I say further, as I have said before, the church should have handled this matter a long time ago, and should not have allowed the woke masters to use the good name of the civil rights movement, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the black church, and the black community as a Trojan horse for sodomy / homosexuality, transgenderism, and the LGBTQQIPF2SSAA plus legions of demons. I said before, and I say again, that governors and political leaders are not equipped to handle these issues. They do not have the wisdom, they do not have the knowledge, they do not have the understanding, they do not have the insight, they do not have the discernment to deal with it. See, and besides that, their efforts won't last. This is why DeSantis and his team got tripped up, and now they are in a mess. They are in a whirlwind of a mess, because I have not seen the documents. I'm just going on the news reports. But if you have written down asinine statements like this, and you plan on keeping them, that's not going to work in Florida, and that's not going to work in America. And you might as well resign from running for president, because you won't make it. If Governor DeSantis does not fix this issue, his political ship will struggle to stay afloat. I have so much more to say to you, but if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I will say them at another time. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for this time together. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of those who are lost, who may not have fully understood everything I said today. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls, and change their lives. Lord, save those who are lost in this lifestyle of sodomy and homosexuality and fornication and adultery, heterosexuals as well. Open blinded eyes, help them to see how that they are trapped. Break the band of wickedness in their lives, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Lord God in heaven, I pray that you'll raise up the church that you have gifted with discernment, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and that could have prevented this problem. And I do pray that you'll help people to see you cannot jam things together like that, and because it causes so many problems for so many people who cannot discern the truth, cannot tell the difference. Revive your church again. Help us all who are saved and born again to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent of our sins, and to get back to you, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank God for you all still hanging in there with me, especially the new audience, over 2,100 of you with me, and I thank you for hearing me out, and I'm not through. I didn't even get to the meat of the message. I wanted to point that out because what has happened is that the woke masters, both black and white, used the good name of the civil rights movement, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the good name of the black church and the black community, and jammed it up with the sodomite homosexual community, like we're the same, and we're not. In fact, most black people are against the sin and abomination of homosexuality and sodomy. All across Africa, it's a crime, and traditionally, the black church has stood against it. But some of them have been paid off with Judas's 30 pieces of silver. And so people are confused. And Governor DeSantis fell right into their trap, thinking that wokeism is, all of it is all jammed up together, and you have to deal with them separately. They did that on purpose to get you to make a mistake like that. Governor DeSantis and politicians. And the church is at fault because the church should have dealt with this situation from the get-go. And the church has not done so because they have been paid off with Judas's 30 pieces of silver. So enough of that today. Allow me to share with all of you, heterosexuals and homosexuals, the good news of the gospel. But before I give you the good news, allow me to tell you the bad news. Bad news number one is that we are all sinners, no matter what we have done or what we have not done. For God's Word says, the Holy Bible says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all destined to burn in hell if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. I didn't say believe in the church. I didn't say believe in your good works. I didn't say believe in your baptism. I did not say believe in the money you gave to the church. None of that will save you. God does not need or want your money. And you couldn't buy this salvation because you don't have enough money. You could not work in the church long enough to purchase this salvation because you don't have enough time. And we are all wicked, evil, and ungodly sinners, including myself, the Pope, the Dalai Lama, and even Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest church in America. Bad news number two, we're all going to die. I know it's hard for you to accept because you are very alive right now, and I am too. And it's hard for us who are alive to accept the fact that we're going to die, but we're going to die. It is guaranteed. For the Holy Bible says the wages of sin is death. Have you sinned? I have. So therefore, we're going to die. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You're going to have to be judged by God. And you have to die for that to happen. Bad news number three. If we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and repent of our sins, we're going to die and go to hell and experience eternal death in the burning hell. And that is just as true as everything else I have said. It is just as true as what I'm getting ready to tell you in the good news. But bad news number three is you're going to hell. Who said so? God said so, and Jesus said so. In fact, as I mentioned to you, Jesus Christ said more about hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all the prophets of the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the apostles of the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Hell is a very real place, and you will spend eternity in hell. You think this is hot? Multiply it a billion times. You will suffer burning throughout eternity if you don't repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all bad news, but now I have some good news for you. Now that you understand the bad news, you will appreciate the good news. Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most important words in the history of the world. When he said one night to Nicodemus, a crusade of one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever believed in your heart that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine, for the whole world? He died, was buried, and rose on the third day. that's why we have Christmas. That's why stores shut down on Christmas. That's why we have Easter or Resurrection Sunday. We're remembering the man named Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world." John the Baptist was a prophet, was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He took away the sin of the world by dying on the cross as a lamb had to die for the remission of sins in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God. God Himself, the Son of God, died for our sins to make it possible for us to be saved from hell and to go to heaven to be with God in Jesus Christ. It has been paid for by His holy and precious blood. Do you know Him? Do you know Him, my dear friends? God loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to suffer, bleed, and die like no man for our sins. He was buried, and to show the world that He is the Son of God. And if He's the Son of God, that means He is God. He rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, and He's at the right hand of God right now as I preach. And He's coming back. So get saved today. I don't care what sins you've been committing. I don't care if you've been a homosexual, a sodomite, a LGBTQ, an adulterer, a heterosexual, fornicator, or whatever. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Follow me in the sinner's prayer, for the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Pray with me right now as I prayed over 43 years ago, believing in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Church membership can't save you. Getting baptized can't save you. Giving money to the church can't save you. Singing in the choir can't save you. Speaking in an unknown tongue can't save you. Simple belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He said it Himself, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, trusts in Him, depends upon Him, has faith in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." It can't get any simpler than that, my dear friend. You just believe in Him and let Him change your life and give you a new life. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a wicked sinner, and that I have done evil in Your sight repeatedly. I have broken Your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by lusting in my heart after people and things, by coveting in my heart after people and things, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, by dishonoring You, by taking Your name in vain, by committing fornication and other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my transgressions, all of my trespasses, and all of my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and please save my soul. For I am doing right now what You commanded me to do, and that is believe in You. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul today. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God, and you prayed that prayer with me, the sinner's prayer, and you meant what you prayed, you are now saved from the burning hell by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, and you are now saved to the beautiful heaven. Not because of anything you have done. I'm not saved because of anything I have done. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. How he died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. So congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. I know it sounds simple, but why would God make it hard for us? We would only mess it up because of how sinful we are. Just rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in that you did what the Lord told you to do, and that is simply to believe in him, trust in him, have faith in him, and call upon him. And you did that. And so, dear friend, I want to help you to grow in the faith as others helped me to grow in the faith so many years ago. And I want you to go to GospelLightSociety.com. GospelLightSociety.com. In fact, I'm live on Gospel Light Society. Check it right there. Right now, GospelLightSociety.com. So you'll see me over there for those of you who are watching in other places. And but go to that site and click on the book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. And you just entered in by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save you. And so read that book free of charge and grow in the Lord. And then go to Gospel Light Society International Podcasts. Click on the podcast button, and it will take you to thousands of podcasts dealing with over 40 different subjects, nearly 50 different subjects. If you would sit down and listen, or walk and listen, you can walk your dog and listen, you can drive to work and listen on these podcasts. Wherever you receive podcasts, you can get these podcasts free of charge. They're all on theological, biblical subjects, devotional subjects that will teach you how to pray, teach you how to read the Bible, teach you how to serve the Lord, how to witness for the Lord, even how to preach for the Lord. And so take advantage of it free of charge. Email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. Let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that you are now saved, so that we can put you on our email list to send you many other things that can help you grow in the faith, and pray for you and rejoice with you. You can also send in your prayer requests if you need healing in your body, if you need healing in your marriage, if you need healing in your finances. We can put you on our prayer list and pray for you as we have prayed for thousands. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, remember to pray without ceasing. Pray always. Continue instant in prayer. Read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. Sing the songs of Zion. Give God the glory, praise, and honor. And remember, you are now a soldier of the cross. Hold high the Christian flag, and remember the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis, which means be always faithful. until the end. Be always faithful to the Lord in this case. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra, which means always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord above, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, pray for me as I pray for thee. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow, if not tonight. And if I'm not live tonight, I'll be live via video starting around 3 o'clock this afternoon all the way throughout the night and into the morning. Invite family and friends. God bless you. And God bless you, my new audience. You've done wonderful today. I'm very proud of you. And keep on praying for me, and as I pray for you, God loves you, and I love you. God loves you, and I love you. Lord willing, we'll see you next time. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God bless you, my dear friends. It's been a joy being with you. Pray for me as I pray for thee. Lord willing, the Lord tarries his coming, and we all live. I'll see you tomorrow live. And if you can send me some tips in using this new channel to increase the crowd and to use it to its fullest capabilities, please let me know. God bless you. Hosanna in the highest.